Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into hour number two of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. Along with me, Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast. Josh over there on the board doing a great job. Heavy NBA talk. We're going to get into college football. Clemson, South Carolina, the Gamecocks, hot and heavy. Got, I believe, three or four more commitments. Two out of the three were back-end corner safety type players that the Gamecocks keep rolling along in their recruiting. We'll talk about a little bit of this Clemson situation that people don't refuse to let die. Let me say this. I never knew what the heck Ostrian was until, and I've been around the game of football 30 years, and I never knew what the heck that thing was until the national championship when Dexter Lawrence and a couple of them other knuckleheads were suspended for it. Now, all of a sudden, it's become cocaine.
Well,
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, if you ask a couple of Carolina fans, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, get over it, people. I mean, literally, let it go. Who cares whether they release a stupid report or not? I mean, move it. Do you honestly think? Here's the thing that I have. Here's my response, you know, because I got into an argument with a friend of mine about this whole Ostrian thing with Clemson. And I kept saying, dude, just move on. This is nothing. Well, on the scale of what athletes deal with, I mean, they're acting like that there's some German, East Bloc, Russian, Olympic strength coaches at Clemson, and these guys are going in there and they're getting pumped full like Frankenstein on a gurney. Okay, and they're going in there, and they look like me and you, and they're coming out, and they're looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let me tell you something. Did Clemson need Dexter Lawrence when they shellacked Alabama?
Surely didn't look like it.
By 30 points. I don't think Ostrian, whatever the heck it is it estrogen? I don't know.
I can tell you. It seems like a lot of people are still waiting for this Clemsoning moment. They lived off that term, Clemsoning. Those days are over.
Ooh. So there's a new Clemsoning. It's called winning national championships by 30.
As far as Clemson falling on their face, those days are over. I don't think Dabo's going to Bama. Let's get that idea. I know that's a pipe dream for a lot of you guys. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. So they're looking for any glimmer, even the reports that came out from the Peyton Manning camp that the QB from South Carolina outside, Trevor Lawrence, throwing footballs at a freaking golf cart, and they're throwing a parade out here in the streets. He's throwing footballs at a golf cart. Give me a freaking break. Let's see what happens on the field. He's not a bad quarterback. I'm not dissing my man from Carolina. He's a great quarterback. I think, well, he's good. But let's not overreact. I think that's the climate that we're in, especially here locally. A lot of people are waiting for anything Clemson do so they can fall back on their face just so they can have a aha. They want the aha moment. It's not happening. They're on top of the mountain right now. Get used to it.
Well, I mean, here's the funny thing to me is people are literally falling over themselves because they won't release the report. I mean, literally.
Why are they not releasing it, by the way?
Well, who cares?
But if it's not that big of a deal, just release it.
Do you think Georgia Tech right now, who Clemson plays in week one, do you think the coaches at Georgia Tech are sitting around going, man, you know what? We're really worried about Clemson because of their O-strain
Question addiction. Do they have to release it?
No.
In the store?
No.
There's no NCAA regulation behind
it. It was an internal investigation. It was an internal investigation that they went, and I'm sure they're putting in institutional controls and program controls to try to prevent this.
I mean, look, I've heard more people demand a release of that than somebody's tax returns.
Exactly.
Like, it's up there.
Exactly.
But if they, you know, if they're not obligated to release it, then it's maybe, not that big of a deal.
Maybe they need to have the Mueller report of Ostrian. Let's waste $40 million, okay, to get a report that in the end is going to say nothing happened.
It's time to move on. Let's get ready for what's going to happen on the field.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, okay, Georgia Tech is really worried about the Ostrian addiction that's going on at Clemson.
We're right around the corner. Oh, man, our good buddy who comes on before, whew, he received some heat about that last show we had about it.
What happened?
You know, he was talking about the situation, and they put a poll up on ESPNUpstate.com and also the Twitter account. There's some people upset. I told him, I was like, Mark, watch your car. It may be spray painted with some stripes on it once somebody get outside. Just be careful. Tread lightly, my friend. Don't upset the masses. But it apparently upset some people just talking about it, bringing it back up.
Well, I mean, at some point, it's like, it's not like you didn't know it happened because there were players that were suspended. Obviously, the other players that played were exonerated through the drug test.
Yeah.
It obviously had zero effect on the outcome of the game between Clemson and Alabama.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the players who were caught, and they were suspended. So problem solved.
Right, so what else do you want them to do? I mean, do they want Dabo to go through the street and say, and pull a Jimmy Swaggart? Oh, Lord, I have sinned! I mean, is that what they want? I mean, would that help?
I'm not even sure, but I mean, if they're not obligated to release it, then they have no reason to release it.
I wouldn't release it. I'd tell them to stick it. You want to join the conversation, 844-477-3776, or hit us up on the Help Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. Because, look, let me tell you something. Let me just put an end to this Ostrian debacle. Okay, that's outlived its shelf life. Okay, Clemson doesn't need something. What is it in shampoo? I mean, is it an activator? Hey. I mean, do you find it in Gatorade?
Once again, hey, somebody call up here. If this is way more serious than what we're making it out to be, enlighten us.
But by all means. I mean, is Dabo going to have to go before Congress like Mark McGuire? And, I mean, are Clemson players growing foreheads like Barry Bonds? I don't think so. And they dealt with it. So,
what happened when you win?
Well,
any little thing, people will harp on it.
Believe
me. To the end of time.
Well, and see, here's the way the NCAA works. And this is going back to my days as a college coach. Is now that they had that situation with Dexter Lawrence, guess what the NCAA is going to do now going into the season? That Dabo and the rest of the coaching staff knows about.
I'm going to test for it.
They're going to test every one of them.
Yeah.
So do you not think the institutional controls are going to say, hey, look, however this happened, and let me put this out there too, okay, to a lot of these self-righteous people. There are things that go on within a football team. Dabo cannot control every little thing that goes on. If he did, he would have been able to prevent Sammy Watkins from getting in that Cadillac. He would have prevented Eamon Lakeup from going Scarface on us with the yayo.
But you know you're going to have those that are saying he is the ultimate head coach.
Okay,
so he should know.
He is, but you don't.
That's true.
because he's not around them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and having them under surveillance. There is something called them being an adult and being held accountable. And he addresses them just like every football coach does and says, look, this is the standard, and if you break what we considered our values of the culture of our program, here is the suspensions. Here is how you will be held accountable. And look, Dabo has no problem holding his players accountable. He held Sammy Watkins out for 4 games.
Now, if this happens a second time, then your argument is valid. Like those that are want them to release it and you know, banging the desk that something needs to happen, they get caught for this again, like this upcoming season. Then, yeah, something needs to happen. But like you said, NCAA, I'm pretty sure, are going to be testing for it to try to get in front of this before it happens.
Right. Well, when a team has several guys that has this situation, they come back the next year and they put a broad umbrella. This is Straight Up with Sturge. We'll come to you, caller, when we come back. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
That's my man. Sorry, I be looking all over the place. DeMarcus Cousins. Oh, poor Boogie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the second hour of Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in with Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in JW. JW wants to talk about the Kaepernick situation. JW, welcome to the show.
Hey, longtime listener. I try to call as much as I can. My whole point is this. Jason Whitlock, someone needs to take away his microphone and pin on certain subjects. Some things, it just seems like he's not in touch with some things. I mean, he's been on Kaepernick from the moment he started stuff. He's just got it out for Kaepernick, I just believe. I did some research looking up because I didn't even know about the whole Betsy Ross thing, but apparently some, the extremist groups, KKK and neo-Nazis, apparently they've used the Betsy Ross flag before, you know, as a, I guess, a symbolism of good old times. And I had to look it up myself and watch the video because I missed the clip that you played it, you know, but this guy Whitlock, sometimes he's just speechless, man. I don't know what to take on him. You know, I don't want to bash the man, you know, because he's got a job. He's doing an all right job at it. But I think as much as he does his research into sports and what he's going to eat for dinner tonight, he needs to do a little more research into the topics and stuff before he goes on bashing the man.
JW, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate that discussion. I appreciate you, my man. Call back more often. We'll get you right in. Here's the thing that people have to be careful about is that I'm trying to think of a way to say this tactfully. Not to diminish, but first of all, I don't care what type of hate group is out there. They need to be thrown into the ocean and never seen from again, number one. At the same time, when those people are out in the margins, that's like less than 1%. And unfortunately, when a group of those idiots decide to take a symbol that really doesn't mean anything and adopt it, it becomes attached because of that stupid group. Case in point, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was wrongly, and it wasn't until later in life, or excuse me, not Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, from a historical standpoint, had a reawakening in his mid-40s, where he made a pilgrimage to Mecca and saw all these different people from all these different walks of life, and he realized the message that he had was wrong. Now, the point that I'm making is anybody can take anything and make it useful to their ideology. And that's something that it's unfortunate. But it's also unfortunate that those people get most of the publicity that they shouldn't get.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, people have to use their brain. I think there comes a point in time where there are extremists on both sides of the aisle, whether the right or the left. The left's got some extremists. I saw a tweet that has since been taken off by an ultra-left lady. Her name is Amy Yu, that is saying that pedophilia needs to be an orientation. Think about that. Now, because of this one woman's, because of this one person's messed up thinking, should she then be the poster child that all people that are on that side of the aisle believe what she believes? And the answer is absolutely not. That would be crazy. And so we've got to get away from this stigma and actually listen to what people have to say and their actions that back it up. Because the truth of the matter is, there's nut jobs on both sides. You see it every day. And most sane people, which are the majority of us, can talk about certain things, disagree about certain things, still enjoy each other's company, and go on with it without the vitriol that accompanies it. And I think that's something that more of us need. Now, Jason Whitlock, I find it interesting. Now, let me ask you this. Why is it that when big people have an opinion, because this has happened to me, TB, and you know what I'm getting ready to say.
Food is always mentioned.
It's always thrown in our face.
I like food.
Right? Like, I ticked off some group last year.
It's the number one go-to thing.
Okay? I ticked off somebody last year, or a group of people last year on the show, and I literally looked at Patrick, and I said, that's going to get a response on Twitter, and the first thing they're going to nail me on is my weight, because I'm a big guy. And without failure, I got all these cheeseburger memes.
Hey, you know what? Real quickly, I want to say one thing, because I don't know if anybody has looked at this route as far as Nike and their sales. From being in sales for most of my career, and someone who actually studies a lot of like PR and the way people think as far as sales, I don't think nobody's mentioning the fact that this could be just an excellent sales pitch to sell merchandise. A, they did it before with the same person, Colin Kaepernick. His jersey sales sold out in no time. And plus, Nike stock went up then. You know, when they announced that they were signing Cap, they knew that it was going to be a storm full of controversy. What happens when it's controversial from one side? The other side usually defends it. Sales go up, stocks rise. What happened this time around? Colin Kaepernick again, controversy. Nike stocks is up 2% right now. There are some people that know controversy sells. And in the climate that we're in right now, everything is a quick reaction. Everyone is upset. How do you get people attention the most right now in this country? Spark a controversy. And if it's behind a product, whoever is in support is going to support your product. And lo and behold, they're up 2%.
Well, I will
Companies look at that.
Well, I will say this. Adidas is loving it. Because like on my Twitter feed, I mean, I'm seeing people from all walks of life that are flat. I mean, they're showing Adidas shoes. They're showing Pumas. They're showing, and they're basically giving the middle finger to Nike.
Yeah, the other shoe companies, I'm sure, are benefiting somewhat. But at the end of the day, Nike is top dog. They run the sports industry.
Without question.
Yeah, just look at the advertisements. So, and as much as people are upset over this, just like Jerry Jones always say, bad publicity is still publicity, and they are booming right now in the publicity market.
That's exactly right. Speaking of Jerry Jones, do the Cowboys have to win the Super Bowl this year?
Ooh, let's get into that.
You know what?
Because that was the first team I thought about when you said that question with the most pressure.
Yeah, the question that I posed at the beginning of the show is which NFL team had to either win a Super Bowl, get to a conference championship this year? You said Dallas. I'm saying the Green Bay Packers. I'm saying Green Bay because they've got a new coach in Matt LaFleur.
See, that's why I think it's the opposite, though.
Well, see, you got to be careful because all of the Green Bay fans laid the blame on Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything was Mike McCarthy's fault. The staff. Now, some of it was warranted, some of it was not. Oh, well, it was the staff. Mike McCarthy didn't do enough with his staff, so that caused some problems. They had injuries along the offensive line. Bakhtiari and Bulaga never really recovered, and that offensive line never was what it was supposed to be after the injuries. Dom Capers as the defensive coordinator, which he then made a change, okay, didn't know what he did from a back-end standpoint. Too many misses at linebacker, too many misses in the secondary. They let Randall Cobb walk. He's now a Cowboy, and apparently he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's got that, I believe it's the fourth game of the year, Dallas plays Green Bay, and Randall Cobb's already talking about how he's going to show Green Bay he still has elite playmaking ability still in him. You know, so literally everything that was to blame was laid at Mike McCarthy's feet. Well, now that guy's gone. And you still have Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm going to be interested to see what this offense becomes under LaFleur. And I'm going to be interested to see is the relationship between LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers going to be what it needs to be to elevate this organization back to a championship level? Because right now, for the Packers, there are no more excuses. Because the biggest excuse, you fired. And I thought Green Bay had a pretty good draft.
Pretty good. I'm telling on the flip side, I believe the team under most pressure right now, especially from individual players, is the Dallas Cowboys. Only because look how many people are under a contract year right now. You got Dak fighting for a contract. Zeke wants a new contract.
Which, let me say this. This business about Dak Prescott getting $30 million a year is ridiculous.
I'm with you on that.
It's ridiculous. He hasn't proven anything that he's worth that money. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't go over $80 million for somebody like that. But I'm not no GM. But still, he's fighting for a contract. You got Zeke. Cobb is fighting for a new contract. The cornerback, Byron Jones, is fighting for a new contract. DeMarcus Lawrence just received a big contract, so now you're going to have to live up to that. And you have the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys fighting to keep his job because Jerry just pretty much told him, you win or you go home. So he's on the final year of his contract. So with all that being said, you have so much pressure between so many different individuals on that team. And you have some people saying that there's not really high expectations for the Dallas Cowboys, but a lot of those players on that team and the team itself is under immense pressure. And I think if they don't go anywhere past the second round of the playoffs, a lot of people are going to be on the chopping block.
Well, here's the problem that I have with Dallas and them getting to the next level. Number one, I don't believe in Jason Garrett at all. I don't believe in this project of the co-coordinators of Kitna and he played at Boise State. His name's
Kellen Moore.
Okay. Kitna Moore. It sounds like a wallflower advertisement. We'll discuss that coming back. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Tyler Butler. Coach Josh Phillips is on his way in. We was talking about the team with the most pressure currently in the NFL, and I was talking about the Dallas Cowboys. One thing I wanted to also add, Coach, with the Dallas Cowboys, to me this season, there is absolutely no excuses. Dak has all the weapons now. You have Zeke for a full season. He's not being suspended. The defense is the best it's been in years. There's pretty much no excuses for Dallas, and that, to me, adds added pressure to this organization.
Heck, they got Jason Witten out of the booth. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Billy. Billy, welcome to the show.
Tyler, hopefully you guys are having a good – Josh, Tyler, hopefully you guys are having a good day. You know, you start talking Dallas, and I'm definitely going to call in. And while I agree with both of you, I definitely tend to agree with Tyler more, and this is the reason why. This is not the NBA or Major League Baseball where you can build your franchise strictly on free agency. I mean, look what's going on in LA. Look what's going on with the Yankees for years. This is the NFL, and there's a salary cap. And the way that we're headed in Dallas, forget about the coaching staff. I don't think that's as big. I don't think the general manager matters as much, or even the owner matters as much right now as the guy that we've got at our quarterback. Right. And they're talking about taking a piece of that pie. That pie only grows when these television contracts come up. And I'm not sure when the next television contract comes up. But let's say it's another 3 or 4 years. That means you're going to bind your hands on your roster. Now, I agree with Tyler. I think this is the best that Dallas' defense has ever been. This is probably the most talented this roster has been since those 90s Super Bowl teams. The problem is I'm not sure that Dak Prescott – well, I am sure he doesn't deserve $30 or $40 million a year. If you do that, then you're going to bind your hands to the point to where I don't think you can win a Super Bowl because of that, because – the pie doesn't get bigger until that television contract comes up. Those guys, when they become free agents, what Tyler was talking about, are going to leave.
Billy, I'm,
and I believe you can win a Super Bowl with Dak, but I believe you've got to have a friendly roster around him. I don't think he's the type of guy like Russell Wilson that can take, you know, a so-so roster and take them to the championship game of their conference. I just don't see him being that type of talent.
Oh, Billy, I agree with you 110%. And that's the main problem with Dak, and that's what I was telling everybody. $130 million a year for Dak Prescott is absurd. I personally say 80, but I wouldn't go past 90 or 100 with incentives. Just because of what you just said, you have to build around Dak. If Dak doesn't have the perfect running back, Zeke Elliott, if he doesn't have receivers that could separate like Amari or now Cobb, He struggles, and we saw that at the beginning of the season when they didn't have our receiver who came over from Oakland.
Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper. So why would you pay a guy $130 million a year when he can't even throw a receiver open?
Well, my problem with Dak is he's a leader. I think he's very accurate when he's really on. The problem is he's got no pocket presence, and I just don't know. Have you ever paid attention to him? And me and Josh has had this, you know, discussion before, and I think Josh disagrees with me on this, but I just think he's one of those guys that he goes from – his progressions go from one to check down guy to I'm going to run.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to run because he wants to prove that he can go through his progressions, which he's not going to. So that binds him, and he seems to have digressed, and I'm not sure how much of that is on the coaching staff. I get what Josh is saying and how much of that is on him, but I do think he's hit his ceiling. Now, I still think you can win a Super Bowl with that young man. I don't want nobody to misunderstand what I'm saying, but I think you've got to build around the roster's got to be built around him. If they go and they pay him what he's asking, then I think that not only is he not going to be successful, but the Dallas Cowboys are going to probably be hurt and for the next 5 years or whatever the contract's going to be due because of that. Because they desperately need a roster around him for him to win.
Billy, as always, thank you for the phone call. Here's the thing that I want to – when it comes to Dallas. And, you know, Lonzo always gets on my case because he's like, Josh, you're the most pessimistic Cowboys fan I've ever been around. Yet when you constantly get your heart broke, you kind of learn to kind of deal with it.
I'm the exact same way.
So here's what I want to broach this subject. And Clay gets in with us on the text line, and he says, Aaron Rodgers will not be limited by offensive scheme, nor will he adhere to the reason he has one ring. And I understand what Clay's saying. Clay is saying the reason that Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl ring is because he's not going to listen to anybody and do his own thing. Well, up until this point, that's a correct assessment, in my opinion. When it comes to Dallas, and you look across the landscape of the NFC, is Dallas ready to compete with St. Louis? Or excuse me, is Dallas ready to compete with the Rams? And the answer is no. Is Dallas ready to compete with the Bears, who I think the Bears are my dark horse for the Super Bowl coming out of the NFC? I really like this Chicago club. I like what Nagy is doing with this club. I love the defensive pressure that they're able to provide. I love what they're doing offensively. And they're solid in the kicking game. And they have literally, them and Minnesota, it's more Chicago now, has really kind of elevated themselves over the rest of that division. That they're imposing their will on that division. So is Dallas ready to face that? Is Dallas ready to take on New Orleans? So see, right off the bat, at best, Dallas is the fourth best team in the NFC. Hmm. At best.
I've been saying, and everybody who know me know how I am about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm never positive about this team because as long as Jason Garrett is coaching, I don't see any type of bright light. But I said, at best, I believe this team can get to the NFC Championship game. Why? Because that defense is lights out. I still have questions about the safety position, but a lot of their problems last year was with the offensive line. Now you're getting Frederick back. You got Jason Witten back. He's not going to be a option down the field, but he's basically another offensive lineman that they're going to have on the field. He's there for blocking and the leadership to groom, the younger tight ends. If they continue to stick with what they do best, which is running the ball, and then the receiving core, Gallup is developed. He can become a deep threat. You have Cobb, one of the smartest wide receivers in the game. He's going to be running slot. He's not. He does have a little injury issues, but to me, he's better than a Cole Beasley. And then you have a full season of Amari Cooper, and we see what type of factor he made last year. Offensively, they're great, but it's all up to Dak Prescott. Is he going to be able to hit the open receiver? he's going to continue to do what Billy say and just look at one receiver, don't see him, and check down instead of running. They have the capabilities. There's no excuses for Dallas this year not to make it to the NFC Championship.
Well, there's not, but it still comes down to the fact that Jerry Jones is running that team.
Jason Garrett is coaching it.
And that is ultimately – and I'm going to go ahead and say this. Heck, he said it in front of 300 coaches. So this is fairly common knowledge. I had the opportunity to go down to Georgia and listen to Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the Jets, speak. And he told all the coaches there that he actually had a chance to go to Dallas as the head coach.
Man.
And he told Jerry Jones to stick it.
Was this after the Bounty Gate?
Yes, when he came back from that.
Okay.
Okay? And the reason he did that is because it is well known. I mean, we joke about it and we laugh about it, but it's really the truth that Jason Garrett is a puppet.
Absolutely.
And Jerry literally is coaching from the owner's box.
I will say this. To Dallas' credit, I am seeing a lot more of the power swing go to Stephen Jones other than Jerry Jones. You can see Stephen, is even with free agent decisions, Stephen want to go the cheaper route, and you can kind of see that starting to be the new way of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I'll say this before we head off to break. I'll become a lot more optimistic when Jerry Jones joins Al Davis. This is Straight Up with Sturge.
Did you say Al
Davis? Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Mark Sturgis, who is on vacation. Mark should be back, I believe, on Monday. Be back in the captain's chair. Tyler Butler joining me from the BS Podcast. Josh over there producing, doing a great job as we're talking NFL action going forward. And, you know, here's the thing. The last time I remembered, New Orleans still has Drew Brees. Right?
An older Drew Brees, a year older.
Tom Brady's 42.
It's Tom Brady. It's the GOAT.
Brees was a penalty away from going to the Super Bowl.
How many points did New Orleans score against Dallas last year?
Not a lot. But they didn't beat them in the dome.
They didn't.
They were there.
Dallas plays New Orleans this season, right?
They do.
In New Orleans.
I believe so.
I think it is in New Orleans.
Let's see here. Dallas.
Let's see if I can get that schedule up. Yes, we are at the Saints September 29th. Primetime NBC game. Can't wait. Let's see what this Dallas Cowboys offense look like by then.
Is that the first game?
That is week four.
Right. So Dallas opens with
the Giants.
The Giants.
Then we go to,
which they should win that.
That team that needs to change their name. I don't like the team. They need to change the whole organization more than the name. I call them the Deadskins. The Dolphins, and then it's the Saints.
The Dolphins. So Dallas should be 3-0 heading into the Saints. And then they've
Washington
got.
Washington is always a weird game. Always, every season.
Then they've got at New Orleans and then Green Bay.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out about Dallas week four and week five. If they go over, you and Billy owe me money.
Over? If they're 0-4 by then?
No. That two-week stretch, because from what y'all are telling, y'all are telling me Dallas is ready to make a Super Bowl run.
I didn't say that. I said NFC Championship game maximum because of that coach.
Well, if they're an NFC Championship caliber team, okay, it's been a long time since a team was 10-6, 11-5, came out of the wild card. I mean, you're talking about a 13-win team.
There's no excuses this year. I don't want to hear anything coming out of
TB,
Dallas.
I'm just saying, you and Billy are telling me that Dallas is getting ready to win at a minimum 13 games.
No, I give them 11. I give them 10-11.
There's no chance they can go to the NFC out of the wild card.
I give them 11. Well, they can win a division with 11 wins.
Ooh. Well, let's take a look. Okay, I'm going to say that Dallas should be 3-0 heading into that Saints game in the Dome.
Should be.
Okay? They're not beating New Orleans in New Orleans.
Well,
3-1.
I thought they weren't going to beat them last year either.
All right, well, I'm just telling you.
New Orleans is going to want revenge, though.
They're
coming out for blood.
And New Orleans is going to play like Alabama is going to in the regular season this year after the shellacking they got, because they got embarrassed. They feel robbed. The Saints feel like they were robbed.
They should beat the brakes off the Giants opening night.
All right. They've got Green Bay. Here's the litmus test for me. Okay? A championship team should be able to go on the road, even if they play. I'm not expecting Dallas to beat the Saints in the Dome. If they do, it's gravy. The mark of a championship team is having a big game in week four and then coming back and finding a way to beat a team in week five, which is the Green Bay Packers. If Dallas can't beat Green Bay in week five.
I think they can beat Green Bay. I'm not really high on Green Bay with the new head coach.
But Green Bay always beats us.
Always. Aaron Rodgers always beats us.
But that goes to my point. They find a way to win the game.
Yeah, no, I would never count out Rodgers, ever.
All right, so let's take a look here.
They got a bye week when they play the Jets.
You said 11, okay? So
yeah, I give them 11.
I've got you at 3-1.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to even get out there and say, although I'm not confident with it, but it's at home, I'm going to say Dallas beats Green Bay.
Okay.
So now you're 4-1. You got the Jets.
5-1.
You're 5-1. You got the Eagles. No chance. Dallas is not beating Philly.
Philly concerns me. They made some huge upgrades in the offseason.
Yes, they did. And Philly's going to be healthy. See, the other thing about Philly people forget is they had like 6 or 7 injuries.
And they picked up the running back from Chicago.
Correct.
Love it. And DeSean Jackson came back, so they have a – Philly scares me.
So right now – you're sitting at 5-2.
All right, 5-2.
Heading into the bye. Not a bad start.
Now, that Giants game the week after, I think the rookie will be inserted into the lineup by then. So that's a victory.
Daniel Jones, yes. A quarterback, yes.
He will be playing by November.
Dallas should beat the Giants, although that series, it's crazy the way that's gone. But Dallas, if you and Billy are telling me they're going to go to the NFC Championship, they should be able to win that game.
Yeah.
The next week against Minnesota, no chance.
Up in the air, prime time.
They're not beating Minnesota.
At Dallas.
I don't like that matchup with Zimmer. Not beating Minnesota.
Who's quarterback?
So you're 6-2, 7-3.
7-3?
So, okay. Excuse me, 6-3.
6-3.
6-3. Detroit.
7-3.
Detroit on the road.
Easy victory. Sorry, Patrick.
Not beating Detroit. 6-4.
It's going to be a blowout.
6-4.
Detroit.
Detroit. Not beating them.
Detroit with the pencil call into place?
Correct. Detroit not beating them.
Blowout.
The next week, not winning that one.
I don't like that one.
6-5.
Is that Thanksgiving? That's not Thanksgiving. We got Buffalo. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Next week. Not beating New England, 6-5.
Yeah, November game at New England. We'll probably lose that one.
Okay. Buffalo.
Victory.
I should win that one, although I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo won.
Victory. And Cole Beasley, you better watch your back.
Okay. 7-5. Heading into week 13. Week 14 at Chicago, no chance. That's going to be a blowout in favor of the Bears.
Time you run the ball. We got one of the best running backs in the game.
7-6. You're 7-6 at week 14.
I don't know, man. I think they can get to 10.
You're 7-6. Oh, look at week 15. The Rams, not happening. 7-7.
What do you got us going? 8-8? No way. No way with that talented
The
roster.
Eagles.
We'll split.
At
Philly won't
split. On the road at Philly. 7-8. And then Washington to wrap it up. Dallas is an 8-8 football team.
No
this
way,
is straight up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
No way in the world.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.